I've been looking forward to this. I've even organised myself a cup of tea and some biscuits so I can relax and enjoy talking to John Dawson, who's our guest today. But first, hello to Carolyn. Good morning.
Hello, Lee. Hi, listeners. Hi, everybody.
How are you? Do we find you well?
Yeah, I'm quite well today, thank you. It's quite warm here. I don't know about where you are. The sun's out.
The sun is out now. It hasn't warmed up yet. Well, not where I am. Anyway, let's hope it improves.
Fingers crossed.
All right, who have we got on today then? Well, I know already. It's John Dawson, isn't it?
Yes, we've got the fantastic John Dawson, who's a local farmer from Clapham, from Bleak's Bank Farm. He's been on with us before. And I actually emailed him to say, what would you like to talk about today? And he actually said, I'd like to talk about the great wool collection over Ingleborough. So, John, thank you very much for that. Can you just let us know, firstly, what does that mean? What is the great wool collection?
Well, the great wool harvest. Morning, everybody. It means we gather off Ingleborough. So there's like 12 or 13 local farms that graze the common fell of Ingleborough, which is 3,500 acres. And we gather those down into the yards and we shed them off into individual flocks. And we all take our sheep home. We're lucky in that we join Ingleborough. So they all come into the yard and then we spend 2 days shearing the sheep, harvesting the wool, if you like, until we can't walk anymore. And then we put them back on the fell. When you've had a half a day shearing, my dad used to say that it's not natural to have your head below your backside for much of the day. He's quite right, actually. It's not natural. But so we do that. And then we mark the sheep and they go back up the fell with the lambs and they stay there till the end of August. And the wool goes in the bags to the wool board. Marvellous.
How do you know which sheep are actually yours and the other farmers?
Well, there's stock marks or fleece marks on them. And most of the sheep, there's 3 gathering points on Ingleborough and most of the sheep know the way home. So although there's 12 farms, there's 2 or 3 farms gather to each point. And for instance, most of our sheep will come back to our gathering point.
I thought that sheep were daft animals, and I don't mean to be rude about sheep. So they actually know their own way home?
More or less. They're no dafter than the people that keep them, you know.
Well, that's true.
That is true. yes, they do. We have a system on an open fell, which is called hefting. And it's basically like the children going to the same school that the parents went to. And this has gone on since the 1800s, since the Enclosure Act, really, the 1700s probably. So that each generation of sheep teaches the next generation whereabouts on that common fell they live. So on 3,500 acres, we could go and get probably 90% of our sheep because we know where they are on that fell. It's where they live. It's where they were taught to live.
So and what about the stubborn other 10% then?
Well, the other 10% will stray a little bit onto another heft, if you like. But as long as we all gather on the same day, they'll come off the fell at our neighbour's gathering point, for instance, and we'll collect the few from him and he'll collect the few from us and things like that. There's always a bit of tidying up, but the majority of the sheep, when you stand at the top of the fell and you start to drive them down, they break off and they'll follow the line home. And more often than not, 90% of each shepherd's sheep go to the correct gathering point. As long as you don't get too excited and rush them too much, they can see what you're doing.
That's absolutely fascinating. I had no idea it was done that way. I had no idea.
It's how these common fells have run for generations, really. Historically, you see, when Bleak Bank, for instance, was a tenanted farm, when one tenant left and the new tenant came, he bought the sheep that were already there because they were lived on the heft. And effectively, those sheep belonged to the farm. Even though the tenant owned them, he couldn't take them with him. He had to sell them to the incoming tenant.
Because I presume they would have just gone back to the same spot, would they?
Yeah, that's right. So them sheep, say our flock of Dalesbred sheep at Bleak Bank have lived in an unbroken line since probably the Enclosure Acts. They've never had a break. We managed to avoid foot and mouth. You can trace it back for generations and generations. Cultural heritage.
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. So you're over with lambing then. That's done.
Yes. We've survived lambing. We're part way through shearing, so we'll try and survive that. If we can still walk upright, we still shear our own.
So let's just talk.
How many lambs, John?
Yeah, I was going to ask that question.
probably about 1.5 per sheep, ish, as an average, sort of 170%, 180% lambing. They're mostly upland sheep, horned sheep, hill sheep. So we don't want too many lambs because on Ingleborough there's only enough ground for the sheep to rear one. The more lambs she has, the harder she has to work. So, yeah, we'll have 600 or 700 lambs, maybe.
And tell us a bit about shearing. We obviously, you know, it means you're taking their coats off.
Yes.
And how often do you have to do that?
And well, wool, I've got this thing about wool. It irritates me a little bit, does wool. Not the wool. The fact that wool grows for free every year. We don't have to do anything. We don't go on a deep sea trawler. We don't drill into the North Sea. We don't have to dig a mine to find it. It comes into our yard very regularly. It's hard work taking it off. And it's fire retardant. It's insulative. You can wear it. You can put a carpet down that'll last a lifetime. And yet we have no market for it, effectively. We'd rather use oil and man-made fibres. So that irritates me a bit. But the actual taking of the wool off is... it's technique, really. It looks hard work, but those that do a lot of it, like the professional shearers, they roll the sheep round. It's all in the technique. It's all in the holding of the sheep. And the sheep just goes with it. She knows what you're doing. She's been sheared many times. It's quite labour intensive. It costs about £1 to shear a sheep when the wool's worth about 40p. And it's just a pleasant thing to do. Especially if the cricket's on the radio, or Dale's radio, obviously.
Oh, yes, of course. Absolutely. And so, out of interest, I mean, you're saying there's a loss there in potential, but is this a thing you have to do?
Yes, it's a welfare issue for the sheep. She can't, during the warmth of the summer, she's ready to cast her coat, if you like. And some of them do. Some of them do cast quite a bit of the wool. And then you've got things like flies that like to lay eggs and breed maggots on sheep fleeces if it gets a bit wet around the bum or a bit sweaty underneath. So the wool has to come off from a welfare point of view. And years ago, the wool check used to pay the rent on tenanted farms, but it hasn't done that for many, many years. Much of the wool, our sort of wool, goes to China, or it was doing pre-pandemic for carpet making, because it's very hardy, very long-lasting, very hard-wearing.
John, I think you might find it's going to come back in to popularity as oil diminishes.
Well, I'd like
the next
to think
few
so.
Years.
Have a use, yeah.
Something we can start switching back to. So, what other activities are going on down on the farm?
We've made some hay last week. Hay time is like lambing time; it shortens your life dramatically every time you go through it. Partly because you cut the grass on a warm sunny day when the weather forecast is good, and as soon as the grass is cut, the weather deteriorates.
Yeah, it starts to rain.
It's just nature. It's marvellous. It frightens the pants off you.
Mother Nature.
Mother Nature is a marvellous thing. She can be moody and bad tempered sometimes as well.
And what is the aim with the hay then? Is to get it all baled up? If it's in bales, does it protect itself?
Hay is different to silage in that hay is dead grass. It's had all the moisture taken out, so that's a process that takes about 3 to 4 days in hot sunshine. You turn the hay twice a day, and say you cut it on a Monday, it should be ready to bale Thursday or Friday. And if there's any moisture left in that grassy seed, or it's rained, then the hay goes mouldy. It deteriorates, and it's got very little feed value. All it does is make a big fog when you fodder it in winter. But good, sweet hay is... marvellous stuff. And we like it. We like the size of the bales, the little bales, the what conventional bales they call them. We call them idiot bricks because there's a lot of work in moving them.
And do you presumably have to keep an eye on the weather, do you? So
you do.
You think, all right, I've got a nice week of sunshine coming up. Yes. I'm doing the hay.
And you must keep your nerve as well. Part of making hay is being patient and not panicking, because nowadays the other alternatives are, you see, you could, if it looks really like rain, then you can put it into silage. Either bale silage and wrap it, because that's a different process. But hay is a slow, painstaking, very, very wearing pastime. It's marvellous. Better than working, really.
Except for the toll it takes on you.
Oh, it shortens your life, I'll tell you.
Do you ever get any downtime? Is there any part of the year where there isn't something that has to be done?
Well, I'm quite lucky, really, Lee. I'm a bit like you in that I don't really work for a living. I just do what I enjoy. And sometimes we break even.
Oh, that's fighting talk.
It's not
like having a job, you know that.
Somehow he's right. Well, I think we've run out of time again. I can't believe it. Every time you come on, I'm saying this.
Quick.
It just goes very fast, but we love it. And we do, because it gives us an insight into what's going on in a world that not all of us see, you know?
Yeah. We're here every day.
Well, hopefully we'll speak to you in a month or so again and get another update.
Yes,
because we love
you.
Talking to you. John Dawson from Clapham, thank you very much. Good to speak to you.